Chapter 9. Barely able to turn his body in time, avoiding hitting his head on the ground, Thomas wrestles with his attacker. A punch lands hard on the top of Thomas's head, and another before he is able to get up his arm to block the blows. Twisting his body, Thomas is able to wriggle free of his assailant and get on top of him. The person is wearing a hood with a cloth covering his face and is a little bigger than Thomas. Pinning the mystery person down, Thomas lands multiple punches to his face and head before the masked attacker is able to get out from underneath him. They wrestle around for another few moments as Thomas yells battle cries in his attempt to regain the upper hand. Thomas gets hold of the mask of the person's face to try and rip it off, but the person grabs Thomas's hand, preventing him from removing it.
"This way! I hear them!"
Thomas hears the yells of an approaching crowd. Then, the masked attacker stops fighting, jumps to his feet and begins to run toward the thick, dark forest. Quickly, Thomas picks up a rock from the ground, takes a step toward his assailant and throws the rock, hitting the masked person in the back, just below his neck. The assaulter stumbles when the rock makes contact and he trips over onto the forest floor. Without hesitation, Thomas leaps onto the cloaked figure and rips his hood up and mask off, just as he is tackled to the ground by Troy.
"What are you doing?" Troy asks, panting and upset.
"He attacked me,"
Thomas exclaims, even more upset, pointing to young Peter on the ground.
"Is this true?"
says an adult man standing next to Troy. Thomas glares at young Peter, waiting for his answer.
"He's an outsider and needs to learn," young Peter yells, standing to his feet.
"That is not for you to decide,"
says the man standing next to Troy, as he walks over and takes young Peter by the arm, marching him back toward the gathering area. Troy tries to pat Thomas on the shoulder, but Thomas rips his body away from Troy and runs off toward the hut. Making his way through the village, Thomas stays on the outskirts near the thick trees, tears streaming down his face. He hits branches out of his way and kicks bushes as he angrily walks. The sounds of the villagers gathered at the fight scene fade from Thomas's ears, the farther away he gets.
"I want to go home,"
Thomas screams inside his mind. Thomas arrives to Troy's hut and easily climbs up the rope with his adrenaline still pumping. Too high-strung to lay down, he paces about the hut a few times before climbing back down. Easily scaling down the rope, Thomas doesn't even think about it, and his feet land safely on the ground. Back on the forest floor, Thomas continues pacing about like a caged wild animal. Footsteps of villagers passing by on the other side of the bush, blocking Troy's hut, grabs Thomas's attention, and he whirls around to face the bush, readying himself for another fight. The footsteps never stop and keep going, with the sounds of people whispering amongst themselves as they pass by. Then, Troy comes through the bushes, startling Thomas into a battle stance. Realizing that it's Troy, Thomas stands normal and stares at Troy.
"Just give me a minute,"
says Troy as he passes Thomas, climbs up the rope leading to his house. Thomas stands still, staring up at the hut in the tree, waiting for Troy to return, wondering what his friend is going to do. After a few minutes, Troy exits his house, wearing a pack on his back, and climbs down the rope.
"Let's go,"
Troy says with a straight face, walking past Thomas and through the bushes. Thomas takes a nervous breath and follows Troy. His heart pounds in his chest from the recent events, and Thomas holds back more tears, feeling anger more than anything. After only a minute or so of walking along the main village path, Troy takes a right onto a smaller path and heads south. Another minute goes by and there is no sign of the village anywhere. Struggling to keep up with Troy, Thomas does his best to scramble up boulders and pass over and under fallen trees. Troy offers no help to Thomas and keeps a demanding pace. After Thomas navigates a particularly difficult stretch of terrain, he looks up to see that Troy is nowhere in sight. Looking around frantically, Thomas searches to see if he can spot his guide. As quickly and safely as possible, Thomas makes his way down the trail looking for Troy, when suddenly, someone jumps out from behind a tree and grabs Thomas.
"Ah!"
Thomas screams as he tries to fight his way free from this next aggressor.
"Calm, lad, it's just me,"
Troy declares from beneath his hood. "You need to be able to disappear in the blink of an eye," he says for the second time since Thomas has known him.
"You need to move with the land, not over it. I saw you coming from a good distance, Troy further explains. Taking deep breaths and calming himself down, Thomas replies, Yes, sir. Troy says nothing else and continues walking south down the path. Thomas, still unsure of the situation, warily follows a few feet behind. The night is dark, with little moonlight reaching the forest floor as they navigate the unfamiliar. Descending in elevation, the walk isn't very grueling. However, many obstacles lay in Thomas's way. But he conquers each one of them on his own. Coming to an area that looks impossible to manoeuvre around, Troy helps Thomas climb down and around. At the bottom, Troy stops and drinks from a water pouch. Once he finishes, he offers Thomas the pouch, and the prince gladly accepts, taking a few long gulps of the delicious, pure water. We'll camp here for the night, Troy says, removing his pack from his back. Taking out a few hides and blankets, Troy throws a couple to Thomas. The young prince catches them and lays them out like a bed. Sitting down, Troy has his flute in his hand and begins to play. A mysterious and lonesome melody flows from Troy through the flute and into the night air of the deep forest. Mesmerised, Thomas watches Troy play his song without blinking until the urge to blink overcomes him, and he does. Forgetting to breathe for a moment, Thomas gasps a bit, then releases his lungs full of air. Never had Thomas felt so moved by music before. The prince always looked forward to his daily music lesson and greatly misses them. When Troy finishes playing his song, Thomas claps and asks, May I please play? Troy looks at his flute and replies, This? I don't think so. Thomas hangs his head in disappointment and embarrassment. Then a flute lands in Thomas's lap as Troy says, Play this one instead. Beaming, Thomas's head shoots up and he shouts, Thank you! Instantly, Thomas begins playing. Nowhere near the skill that Troy possesses, the prince plays a fun little melody that he had been working on in his latest music lesson. Troy watches Thomas play, and when the prince is done playing, he claps enthusiastically. Laying down, Troy begins playing again, but a little bit softer and quieter. Thomas lays down and listens to the music while staring to the treetops above, and the faint moonlight that shines above them. The cool night air creeps around Thomas's face, so he curls up and covers his neck snugly with the blankets. Worn out from the stressful events of the evening, Thomas is quickly lulled to sleep by the sound of Troy's song. Early the next morning, Thomas wakes up to see that Troy is gone again. His pack, along with his supplies, are nowhere that Thomas can see. Jumping to his feet, Thomas looks around, trying to find his companion. Behind him, Thomas finds a pack with a note on it. He picks up the note, opens it, and begins reading. Take the pack and go south. Troy. Feeling abandoned and discarded, Thomas packs his blankets into the pack with whatever was already inside of it, and begins walking. The sun peaks its first rays of the morning light over the eastern mountain range as birds fly between trees, with squirrels and chipmunks right behind. The trees are densely populated, so the forest surrounding Thomas is dark and eerie-looking. The hoot of an owl startles Thomas, and he quickens his pace. Mist from the mountain dew evaporating from the warmth of the sun rises around the prince as he cautiously steps around a massive tree, hoping that he doesn't have a surprise encounter with someone, or something. A bird flies from the ground, back into the tree right in front of Thomas, making him jump with fright. Ha! Thomas chuckles out loud, laughing at himself. Taking a deep breath, Thomas continues walking south. Climbing down rocks, over tree roots and under logs, the prince makes his way down the mountain, trying to flow with the land instead of over it. The mist breaks into patches, and the morning sunlight floods through, illuminating a small clearing of wildflowers. Walking to the centre of the flower patch, Thomas sits down to rest. Opening his pack, he takes inventory of his supplies. After removing the blankets and animal hides, he reaches in and pulls out a knife, followed by a steel rod for creating sparks and starting fires. Digging deeper, Thomas takes out a pouch filled with water. Thomas uncorks the pouch and takes a couple of gulps from it. After he finishes drinking and corking the pouch, Thomas holds his pack upside down and lets the remaining contents fall out. Among the items are a strip of dried meat, a cloak, comparable to the one Troy let him wear a few days back, and the flute that he received last night. Staring at the flute for a few moments, Thomas studies the detail of the design. In the light of day, he can see the instrument much more vividly. Picking up the flute, Thomas puts it to his mouth and begins playing a couple of notes. A quick trill of three notes escapes, flowing from Thomas. The sound of the musical instrument is incredible. Thomas takes it away from his mouth to look at it more, as a very warm sensation rises up in him. A trill of three more quick 16th notes, followed by a couple of more spaced out quarter notes, flutters from the flute. Suddenly, numerous butterflies float out of the flowers as if dancing in sync with the music. Startled, Thomas stops playing and falls back a bit, returning the butterflies to a normal flying pattern. Thomas quickly gathers up the contents of his pack, stands, and continues walking through the flower patch. The butterflies that Thomas stirred up land on flowers on the other side of the clearing. The sun feels so warm and comforting as Thomas walks through the treeless patch in the middle of the densest forest he could ever imagine. Moving into the shade of the trees, the chill of the air blasts Thomas, after he had been warmed by the glow of the sun. Wanting to remember where this place is, Thomas takes a good look around, trying to orient himself. "I wish I had the view of a bird," Thomas thinks to himself. Jolting to attention at his next thought, Thomas looks up as far as he can in the trees. Looking back down to the ground, Thomas thinks about his idea. Looking back up to the treetops, Thomas sees that the tree's limbs practically beg to be climbed, appearing to provide a safe route the whole way up. Studying the path that he will take up the tree, Thomas takes a deep breath and jumps up, grabbing the lowest growing limb. Pulling himself up, Thomas grabs the next limb to stabilize himself. Being up inside of the tree brings an exhilarating wave of emotion over Thomas as he sees a squirrel pass overhead, being chased by two birds. Continuing to climb, Thomas comes upon a bird nest and sees three baby birds squawking. With a smile on his face, Thomas carefully passes the nest by and climbs higher into the tree. The wind picks up more and more the higher he climbs as the prince gets farther and farther away from the ground. The sun shines brighter and brighter as Thomas climbs the tree. About halfway up, he stops to take a break, shaking his arms and hands. The prince feels completely secure at a very dizzying height, and he lets the sunshine and cool breeze wash upon his face. Not high enough to see past the other trees, Thomas continues his climb up the tree. The limbs and branches of the trees grow together so tightly that it is similar to walking up a long set of stairs as Thomas climbs higher and higher up the tree. Keeping a good pace and rhythm of climb, the young prince smoothly grabs branch after branch, quickly ascending. Starting to sweat, his muscles burn and he becomes thirsty. But seeing that he is so close to the top, he doesn't want to take a break. The tree sways slightly in the wind as Thomas gets closer to the top. With the limbs and branches becoming smaller and smaller, Thomas's view extends much farther. The sunlight glows through the leaves and they glisten in front of his face as he passes them by on his way up. Not wanting to climb any higher, Thomas sits close to the top of the tree, about 200 feet off the ground. To the south, Thomas sees forest farther down the canyon than he can speculate. With the sun blinding his eyes, he puts his hands up to block the rays and peers off into the distance. In every other direction, he's looking up through thick trees to canyon walls and enormous mountain peaks. South, he thinks to himself. Looking back north, down at the breathtakingly beautiful flowers below, he sees them glistening from the sun reflecting off of the dew collected on their petals. Taking a deep breath, Thomas feels completely in control. With one last look to the south, he begins to climb back down the tree. Steadily and sure-footed, he slowly makes his descent down the tree. Large hawks hover high over the forest canopy as a cardinal flies up above the treetops and into the sky. Catching his attention, Thomas looks up to see a hawk fall into a dive, straight for the bird below. Without warning, the hawk slams into the cardinal, sinking its talons into the helpless bird and flies away. With his heart racing from seeing such a magnificent hunt, Thomas continues his way down the tree. Scaling carefully through the limbs and branches, he thinks of nothing but his next move down. In motion, the tree passes by quickly as Thomas basically slides down the 15 feet of angled limbs before being carefully cradled at the bottom of the natural slide. The next 30 feet feels like descending a ladder, followed by multiple drops of 4 feet or more. About halfway down, he takes a break and drinks some water from his pouch. Catching his breath, Thomas swings his arms and shakes his hands to rest them for the rest of the climb down. A few trees over, two squirrels are fighting and chasing each other, about to jump from a branch to another tree. The squirrel chasing the first one grabs his tail a bit before it jumps, making it fall to some limbs below. Seemingly unharmed, the squirrel that fell runs off and disappears into the trees. Chuckling to himself, Thomas continues his descent. Suddenly, a wolf howls in the near distance, sending a shiver up Thomas's spine. Then another wolf joins, and another, making the howling intense and intimidating. Thomas freezes, paralysed with fear, unable to make a move.